Welcome to the tour of Andersonville National Cemetery. In order that you may view all the interesting aspects of the cemetery more easily, this tour will be oriented to the right side of your vehicle. Andersonville National Cemetery began as a result of the conditions which caused the deaths of thousands of Union prisoners of war held captive at Camp Sumter. The first death to occur was that of Adam Swarner on February 27th, 1864. Private Swarner, a member of the 2nd New York Cavalry, had been held in Confederate prisons in Richmond, Virginia since his capture in September 1863. Swarner was among the first prisoners to be transferred to the new prison in Georgia and arrived ill and dying. By the time the war ended in the spring of 1865, nearly 13,000 men had been laid to rest in these acres. They were buried in trench graves, shoulder to shoulder. Their graves were marked with a small wooden board with the number of the grave carved on it. The number corresponded to the dead roll kept by the Confederate surgeons, the task being actually assigned to a paroled prisoner. Dorrance Atwater, a comrade of Adam Swarner's in the 2nd New York Cavalry, kept the dead roll for most of the time he was at Andersonville. He feared that the Confederate government would not be honest about the number of Union deaths and made a secret copy of the list, which he kept hidden until his release early in 1865. This list was provided to the United States War Department. Stop number one is just ahead of the Georgia Monument, which stands in a circle inside the cemetery's brick wall. In July 1865, Miss Clara Barton, known as the Angel of the Battlefield for her work as a nurse for the Union Army, arrived at Andersonville with an expedition from the Quartermaster Department under the command of Captain James Moore. Captain Moore's expedition included 40 laborers who would paint, letter, and erect wooden markers for each grave. Dorrance Atwater also returned to Andersonville to assist with the work. The process of marking the graves was completed by mid-August. Today, Andersonville National Cemetery remains operational. Veterans of the United States Armed Forces may be buried here along with their spouse and minor dependents. Basic requirements are that the veterans must have been on active duty for more than 180 days, and if discharged, the discharge must have been under conditions other than dishonorable. Please remember that the 27-acre cemetery contains the remains of men and women who have served this country in all branches of the United States military. Please show proper respect by keeping your voices low, by not sitting or standing on the headstones or monuments, and by walking at all times. You may arrive at the cemetery during a committal service. During those times, the roadway leading to the section where the service is being held will be closed. Please omit that portion of the tour. If you wish, you may park your vehicle along the brick wall out of the flow of traffic in order to get a closer look at the Georgia Monument. This monument was erected in 1976 as a memorial to all American prisoners of war. The artist William Thompson designed the monument to show the universal plight of prisoners of war, regardless of the era of the war in which they fought. He also tried to show the dependence of the prisoners on each other for support and camaraderie. You may wish to explore a bit, noting some individual markers and the states represented by the soldiers buried here. If you walk to your right after entering the cemetery, you will find the grave of Adam Swarner in the last row of Section K, grave number one. Please continue with the tour to stop number two just ahead. As you drive, you will see the Iowa Monument on your right. It was dedicated on November 17, 1906, and features a weeping female figure. During the dedication ceremonies, the governor of Iowa likened the figure to the state grieving for the sons she lost. The Connecticut Monument was authorized by the state legislature in 1905 to commemorate the Civil War soldiers from Connecticut imprisoned at Andersonville. It was agreed by the artist and the Monument Commission that the figure should represent a very young man whose expression would be that of the courage and heroism that are developed in suffering, strength, modesty, and hopefulness. The dedication ceremony took place on October 23, 1907. The New Jersey Monument also features the figure of a soldier representing the 235 soldiers from that state who died here. On the lower section is the inscription, "Death Before Dishonor." This inscription is common to five monuments in the park and points to the fact that Andersonville's prisoners could have been released if they had agreed to fight for the Confederate cause. The New Jersey Monument was dedicated on the third day of February, 1899. There are several instances of brothers being captured and imprisoned at Andersonville. In the front row of Section J, you will find the grave of Jacob Swarner, number 4005. Jacob Swarner died July 26, 1864, almost exactly 5 months following the death of his brother Adam, interred in grave number one. As you look across the many rows of graves, you can feel the impact of the high mortality at Andersonville. In sections J and K, there are several graves with the designation USCT. These are graves of African-American soldiers, many of them freed slaves who fought in the Union Army. One example is grave number 2790, where Private Alexander Whitaker is buried. He was a member of the 8th Regiment of the United States Colored Troop. Also interred here are members of the famed 54th Massachusetts Regiment. You will find Corporal James H. Gooding in grave number 3585. Both of these veterans were taken prisoner at the Battle of Alusti in northern Florida in February 1864. Please proceed to stop number 3 at the flagpole just ahead. Early on the morning of August 17, 1865, with their work of identifying the dead and marking the graves completed, the expedition sent to identify and mark the graves gathered around the newly erected flagpole, and a formal dedication of the cemetery was conducted. Miss Clara Barton recorded the event in her diary.
Captain called me to go and run up the Stars and Stripes, and this at Andersonville, where sleep their 13,000 martyrs. Where the flag of this country, no flag has floated in 4 dark years. All was made ready, and I advanced to the side of Mr. Walker, and together he ran it up amid the cheers of the beholders. Up and there it drooped, as if in grief and sadness, till at length the sunlight streamed out and its beautiful folds filled. The men struck up the Star-Spangled Banner, and I covered my face and wept. 3 volleys, the red, white, and blue, and we turned towards camp and breakfast. The work is done. My own hands have helped to run up the old flag on our great and holy ground, and I ought to be satisfied. I believe I am.
If a committal service is in progress, you will not be allowed to proceed to stops number 4, 5, and 6. These areas of the cemetery will be inaccessible by vehicle. You may listen to the tour text from the flagpole circle if you wish. You may also tour sections I and J on foot from this point. Please remember to show proper respect and keep your voices low. Taking the roadway to your right, please continue the tour to stop number 4. After making the right turn at the flagpole, you will see the graves of the 6 convicted ringleaders of the Raiders hanged inside the stockade on July 11, 1864. Raiders was the name given to the gangs of prisoners who preyed upon their comrades, taking whatever valuables a soldier might have, sometimes committing murder to get them. One of the Raiders, William Collins, broke the hangman's rope, but the prisoners made sure he hanged the second time. Since they were dishonorable soldiers, the surviving prisoners buried them separate from the other prisoners' graves. Please proceed to stop number 5. The Stalag 17B monument, which was dedicated on May 3, 1989, will be on your right. It was dedicated on the 44th anniversary of the liberation of the Stalag's prisoners at the end of World War II. The monument was erected to honor the prisoners of Stalag 17B and all prisoners held in German prisoner of war camps. As you look to the right and left of the traffic circle, you will notice rows of headstones. This is the memorial section. Memorial stones are erected to commemorate soldiers whose bodies were not recovered from the battlefield, whose bodies were donated to science, buried at sea, or whose cremated remains have been scattered. Proceed around the circle toward stop number 6. The imposing structure is the rostrum. Completed in November 1941, the rostrum was constructed by the U.S. Army for special ceremonies and is still used for that purpose today. The emblem on the front is the first official seal of the War Office of the United States, adopted in 1778. Consequently, the Army also adopted the emblem at the same time. Andersonville National Cemetery was administered by the Department of the Army from its establishment in 1865 until 1970, when it, along with the prison site, became Andersonville National Historic Site. At stop number 6, you will have the opportunity to leave your vehicle and explore the remainder of the memorial section and section I. If you do leave your vehicle, please do not block the roads coming into the circle or pull into the roads marked Do Not Enter. Among the memorial stones to your right is that of Luther Story, Medal of Honor recipient for heroism during the Korean War. Corporal Story grew up in nearby Americus, Georgia, and was last seen throwing hand grenades at the approaching enemy as his platoon made its way to the rear of the battle lines. Corporal Story's body was never recovered. The Medal of Honor was bestowed upon Corporal Story by President Truman on August 2, 1951. Section I is one area of the cemetery where more recent burials have taken place. Among the burials in Section I are two soldiers whose remains have been reinterred here after many years in private cemeteries. Samson B. Kitchens is buried in grave number 957. He served with the 10th Georgia Regiment, Company C, during the Civil War and died in 1934. He is the only known Confederate soldier buried in the cemetery. His headstone has a pointed rather than rounded top. In grave number 1128 are the remains of a veteran of the American Revolutionary War, Jeremiah H. Dupree. Ensign Dupree served with the Virginia Militia and died in 1838. Please proceed to stop number 7. Drive toward the flagpole and turn right in the circle. To your right, as you continue your drive, you will see the Indiana Monument, dedicated to the soldiers from that state who died while imprisoned at Andersonville. It was dedicated on Thanksgiving Day, November 26, 1908. The inscription, "With great pity for their sufferings, but a greater admiration for their unfaltering fidelity," aptly pays tribute to all victims of prison camps. In the center of Section I, you will also find the main monument, erected in 1904. The soldier atop the monument faces north. Take note of the Pennsylvania Monument on your right after making the turn at the circle. It was erected in honor of the 1,849 soldiers from that state who were buried here. Dedicated on December 7, 1905, the monument's inscriptions include a poem by John E. Barrett. Please feel free to step inside the monument to read the poem and other inscriptions. At stop number 7 in the second row of graves, notice grave number 2286. You will see that this stone has an indented shield. This grave is that of a veteran of the Spanish-American War, Burton Cole, who died in 1980 at the age of 101 years. Please drive to stop number 8. Note the similarity between the headstones in this section and that of Burton Cole. The style of the official headstone featuring a shield is the same for Civil War and Spanish-American War interments. Section H is the largest single section of Civil War interments in the cemetery, with 5,586 graves. One unique gravestone is that of Lewis Tuttle, grave number 12,196. Located beneath the large oak tree at the rear of this section, this soldier from Maine has a stone dove atop his marker. It appeared at about the same time as the dedication of the Maine Monument. Is there a connection? We don't know. The circumstances surrounding the dove is our cemetery mystery. Lewis Tuttle's brother David is also buried here in grave number 12,322. Another unique grave is number 12,607. James Wiley is the only prisoner buried at Andersonville awarded the Medal of Honor during the Civil War. He was awarded the medal for capturing a Confederate flag during the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. He most likely died unaware of the honor paid him. An additional grave in Section H that has received attention is that of Martin Blackburn from Pennsylvania. He was one of the historic figures featured in the movie Andersonville, released for television in 1996. His grave is number 10,674. If you walk through Section H, you will notice the large number of stones marked Unknown U.S. Soldier. Now, even though there are quite a large number in this section, only 460 of the 12,920 men who perished at Andersonville were buried as unknowns. If you wish to explore this section, pause or turn off the player now. Please travel to stop number 9 in the circle just ahead. The monument within the circle was erected in 1985 to honor those unknown soldiers buried in the cemetery. This is a good point from which to explore sections A, B, and C if you wish to do so. Please park along the wall out of the line of traffic. These sections will be on your right as you exit the circle. The graves in Section A are those of veterans of the Spanish-American War and World Wars I and II. Sections B and C contain graves of Civil War soldiers who died at various battlefields in the state of Georgia and northern Florida. Their remains were brought to Andersonville for interment after the war ended. Many of them are unknown. Of 900 battlefield reinterments, 490 are unidentified. Notice the more traditional spacing of the gravestones as compared to those across the road in Section H. These soldiers were buried in wooden caskets. Also interred in these sections are 66 victims of smallpox originally buried in the town of Andersonville. Near the rear of Section B is grave number 13,718, containing the remains of two Union soldiers, discovered in 1899 after heavy rainstorms. The remains were found within the prison stockade, and the assumption is that they were buried by a cave-in while trying to make their escape by tunneling. Please pause or stop the player now if you're leaving your vehicle to explore. Please continue with your tour. As you drive towards the flagpole at the rear of Section C, you will see the Minnesota Monument erected in 1916. You will also notice a series of civilian headstones. These are graves of either former cemetery superintendents or their family members. When the cemetery was under the control of the Department of the Army, the superintendent lived in the large two-story home at the edge of the cemetery. This structure was built in 1877 and currently serves as the administrative headquarters for the park. Please proceed past the flagpole and follow tour signs to stop number 10 at the New York Monument. Please watch for traffic entering the circle and for any pedestrians who may be crossing the road. The state of New York had more soldiers held at Andersonville than any other state. Another distinction is that more soldiers from New York died here than from any other state. The New York Monument was erected in 1911, but not dedicated until 1914. The Dedication Committee received funding from the state legislature to bring as many of its Andersonville survivors for the ceremony as possible. On the reverse side of the monument is a very moving scene. The relief depicts two Andersonville prisoners with a stockade wall in the background. The expression of one prisoner appears hopeful, while the other is shown as dejected. An additional figure is that of a descending angel. This single image portrays the faith and camaraderie needed to survive prison life. You are encouraged to leave your vehicle to look at the reverse side of the monument and nearby headstones. Continue your tour past sections E and F, which also contain graves from Camp Sumter. In the middle of these sections is the Illinois Monument, erected in December of 1912. The central figure is Columbia, pointing to the heroes resting in their graves. Youth and maiden gaze in the direction Columbia is pointing. The figures at either end represent veterans standing in sad reflection of the tragedies of the war. Behind the Illinois Monument are extensions of sections E and F containing modern burials. If you wish, you may park near the Georgia Monument and explore the cemetery further. As you explore, remember that each historic stone marks the grave of an Andersonville prisoner. It is hard to believe that the twist of fate responsible for taking these men's lives was a prisoner of war camp that was only in operation for 14 months. The now serene historic site provides a beautiful setting to contemplate the sacrifices of the men who died here and also provokes thought as to what drives men to war and allows such places as prisoner of war camps to exist. After taking the opportunity to explore, you may wish to listen to the following musical selections on your return trip to the museum. We ask that you return the tour to the museum desk upon completion of the music. Thank you.